seed. 'Cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden, be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy.
All righty, friends, it's time for In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. We've got Ed on the line, and we're going to be able to take your calls, too, if you have any questions about this end-of-season-ish type of In the Garden episode. And we want to thank the Flower Farm. They're down there at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, 772-3464. And, you know, they are a great source for local flowers. Growing them down there and selling them by the stem, and even delivering bouquets. Their dahlias, snapdragons, sweet peas, and more. The Flower Farm. All right, and I think we've got Ed Bajarski in the line, so we're going to dive right on over. Ed, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon. What an amazing stretch of weather in this month that begins or that ends in an R. Not what we would expect.
Right. Unheard of, eh? Preposterous.
Enjoy the heck out of it as well we can. It looks like the forecast is for some other weather this weekend. Which, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. It certainly
it's been great. Yeah, I was up in Haines over the weekend, helped with some helped some moose hunters. So I'm filling the freezer. But, you know, with all the good stuff, freezers and root cellars and other assorted stuff. So life is incredible. We did have hard frosts up there. We've gotten to 34 degrees here at my house. How about down there in Petersburg? Have you had frosts there?
Oh, yeah. Yep, we've had a couple of frosty nights for sure.
Okay. Okay, so that's one more. We talked about digging potatoes last weekend, and if the frost is hard enough, of course, it'll kill back the potato vines and other stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great time for bulb planting, and I've got piles here. We're having a big bulb planting effort out at the Shrine of St. Therese in Juneau this weekend, and it's a good item to talk about.
Absolutely.
Get your bulbs in. Hopefully you've got bulbs available from your local retailers or people have already ordered them if they planned ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Ed, maybe before we dive into the bulb conversation, I've got a caller here on line one with a question, so we might let them slip in before we get too deep into bulb talk. But line one,
okay.
Are you there?
I sure am, and I am about bulb talk.
Hey, bulb talk. Excellent. Most excellent.
I have a beautiful, beautiful pink lily that was pink and white, very fragrant. Do I need to dig that up and bring that bulb inside, or can I leave it out in my planter box?
Okay. You mentioned a couple important things. Well, especially the planter box.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge with any perennials and bulbs in planters, I suppose. Well, maybe first I'll ask, how big is the planter box?
It's one. It's like the keg type thing, the wooden half a keg,
okay,
or whatever,
okay,
you want to call it.
So the challenge for those, if your bulbs, I'm assuming you mentioned that they're so fragrant, they're probably oriental lilies. And if they're in the ground, no problem. There they could stay over the winter.
Okay.
The challenge in pots, tubs, depending on their size, is that, and depending on what kind of winter we have, and I'm not going to even predict that one, they can freeze and thaw multiple times. And that tends to be deadly for the perennials, for bulbs, and other stuff. There's a few hardy shrubs that'll survive. There's a few hardy, usually, if they're dry enough, some of the succulents may survive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, I don't know if this tub is movable, like if it's on your deck or on the ground, if you can move it close to your house and throw a piece of plastic or a tarp or old blanket over it, basically we're trying to shelter it, we're trying to slow the freezing and thawing. For some folks might even do, you could get garbage bags and fill them with leaves, or styrofoam peanuts are fine until the bag breaks and they get strewed about. But something additional insulation. That's what you're looking for. They insulate the tub from the freezing and thawing action.
Okay, great. And I have it right up against my house, so it'll be easy to cover it with something.
Yeah. So, that's a good choice for you and for other folks who have some of that kind of plants in those. You know, it's nice if we can put perennials in them and various colorful shrubs and things, but, you know, if it's a winter like last winter, then with the cold weather that we had and no snow cover, a lot of stuff died in containers. A lot of stuff died in the ground as far as that goes.
So,
whatever you can do to insulate that container will help.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate your advice.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is a nice kind of start to the bulb talk there.
And let's follow it up with just a little bit of more on container bulb planting, because what some folks like to do, buy the bulbs now, or if they're there available, they are here available in Juneau, and put them in containers, if you have a root cellar, or if you had a crawl space, or another, even if you just gather, have a bunch of pots that the gardener may want to have a nice colorful display that's somewhat portable, and then they can move them. They may plant them in pots, move all those pots together, and again, throw a tarp over them, throw some blankets over them to insulate them. So if they're all together in one spot on the ground, and then even if, whenever we get snow, you can even shovel snow on top of them for additional, again, for insulation. So that way in the springtime, once things thaw out, you can move the pots or tubs to the places where you may want them to be displayed and enjoy them that way.
Gotcha. So we're protecting them from the cold air.
Exactly. Yeah, the multiple freezing, thawing, that's the stuff that the soil in the pots is very moist, it freezes, it becomes like a giant ice cube and literally crushes the bulbs inside in that pot.
Right.
Because, of course, the soil can't expand with the pot around it unless your pot breaks, which happens if you've got ceramic pots.
Hmm.
But that's one way to have more bulbs and then be able to put them where you want them if perhaps some folks don't have good soil to plant them in, don't have good, well-drained soil. But if they can put them in the pots on the surface, cover them over, protect them, then they can still have bulbs.
Yep. Okay. That's a good reminder. Definitely something that folks will have to do to protect those plants.
So the basics, really, for most bulb planting is first find a spot that's going to be, it's got to be well drained. I mean, all of our bulbs that we are likely to plant need good drainage, and that may mean you might have to mix in some extra more sand and even something like pea gravel, pea rock, in with the soil. Raised beds are great so that there's good drainage. Those things don't want to be down in a low spot and that's going to be frozen, wet and frozen all winter long. And they will do better for us. Hopefully they will. We may or may not get them to come back year after year. It kind of depends on which bulbs you're planting. But start with a well-drained site. We kind of mentioned about having the pots up next to the house, but of course usually there's never enough gardening space near the house, particularly on the sunny south side of the house, for all the different plants that we might want to put there. But that's a great place to start if you have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So look at the bulbs that you have. Say you've already bought the bulbs, and if they're packaged bulbs, or sometimes you get the little tags that have basically all the information you need for how deep to plant the bulb, how far apart to space the bulb, where and even to telling you, of course, when they bloom. Like with tulips, it'll say early, mid, and late season. So you may want to have an assortment of different seasons, which then gives you more or a longer display of tulips. And this, particularly in Petersburg, means that you're going to have to protect them from the deer, because the deer love tulips. Mm-hmm. Where daffodils, narcissus, are not attractive to the deer and are moderately poisonous. So, not poisonous to us, but at least they won't eat the daffodils. So that's something else to consider, is what you're planting and what your local conditions are, too, to think about.
Can you, like, do, like, a wall of daffodils and then behind it your tulips?
I don't think you can make your wall tall enough.
Yeah.
That's the problem. No. No, I mean, certainly they have, you know, the deer are working by scent, mm-hmm. but they can probably smell them. They may sneak in from one side or something like that. I don't know. Now, there's a great experiment. How wide a strip of daffodils will the deer not cross? You know, that's going to take you some serious experimentation, probably some hundreds or thousands of daffodils with five tulips in the middle, and see if the deer come get them. Because usually I have found, you know, personal experience here along my driveway, that about 15 minutes before the tulips open is when the deer eat them off.
Wow.
You know, they're showing, the buds are up there, and they're showing color, and you think, oh, tomorrow they're going to open up, and tomorrow morning you go out there, and they're gone. I mean, they're just bare stems, no flower buds left on top of the tulips.
Ah, yeah, that's the surefire way to keep a gardener's venison appetite healthy.
Yeah, right. So I suppose if you're, you know, we'll probably plant or talk more about garlic, and yeah, I don't know, that garlic is really a repellent. Sometimes it's said to be used as a repellent. Hmm. But for deer, as persistent as they are, I know there's other folks who have used various repellents, sprays, and watering in around them. Again, try that to see whether that actually works. But again, tulips are extremely attractive to deer. So, but find your good spot. Find that nice spot where you're going to want to see those bulbs when you're walking up to your house, up to your front door perhaps, or if you've got a big bed that you may want to plant a bunch of them in. You know it has good drainage, or you work a bunch of sand in there. And then on that package, for big tulips and full-size narcissus, it'll usually say to plant 6 to 8 inches deep. So since I do plant some thousands of bulbs every year, and I'm not a one-at-a-time kind of a guy for this planting, I'll usually start off with my shovel and a wheelbarrow or several buckets, dig my trench down there, say 8 inches deep, and throw the soil into a couple of buckets. So I'll dig a hole that may be a foot by 2 feet across, scratch the fertilizer down in the bottom of that, and then set my bulbs in on top of the soil that's mixed with a little fertilizer, and then start backfilling. And I'll backfill with soil from the next hole where I'm going to dig to plant another batch of bulbs. So in a 2 foot square or a 1 by 2 foot hole, I'll probably put 10 to 20 bulbs in that area, spaced out. Pointy end up is the mantra, so remember that pointy end up. So I throw the soil on top of these from the second hole, then I do the same things. Fertilizer, scratch it in, plant the bulbs, and keep moving around. So in that way, I can plant at least, 1 to 200 bulbs an hour in good, loose soil, which is going to give a really nice display. This planting them one at a time doesn't get it for me. But again, if you want a big splash of color, plant them in 10s and 20s, and then you can start getting creative with different color combinations, of course. But that's an efficient way to do it.
And what's the spacing?
One more thing to think about, though, for the smaller bulbs like crocus and blue scilla, snowdrops, and muscari, grape hyacinths, you can half-fill your tulip or daffodil hole in. You know, you're filling it up, so it was, say, 8 inches deep. Fill it up to 4 inches deep and plant some of these small bulbs on top. Hmm. Most of the small bulbs bloom earlier than the tulips and the daffodils, so they come up and then cover, then finish covering them up to the surface height. So that way, then, you get those early bulbs, the small early bulbs come up, they bloom, they're about done, and then your other bulbs like daffodils and then a little later narcissus, I mean tulips, will come up, hide the dying foliage of the first ones, and so you get even more color over more weeks of time in the same space.
Wow. Ah, that's a cool idea.
Ooh. So, speaking of space, could you go over maybe one more time, like, when you're planting the bulbs, how much space do you need to leave between bulbs? Can they be kind of close in there?
Or? Sure. Well, and again, this is going to depend on what your use is going to be. So, one of the things with, if you're planting tulips, which tend to be rather short-lived, in other words, you know, the tulips we plant this fall will bloom beautifully next spring, assuming you keep the deer out. The next year after that, they may have smaller plants, smaller stems, fewer flowers. They really would like hot and dry conditions. So, I mean, this year maybe, we'll get a better, they'll come back better next year since we had that kind of conditions. But I tend to treat tulips just about as an annual, at most 2 years, and then you're going to want to replace them anyway, because usually the second year after, all you're going to end up with is some leaves, tulip leaves. They don't manage to store enough food in the bulb to give them the energy to come back and flower vigorously.
Gotcha.
Some daffodils do. Now, there's a few varieties that are more tend to be the older ones, and there's some species tulips that are smaller and may come back. There's one called Tulip Tarda, T-A-R-D-A. It's a small yellow and white one. That one comes back very well and even seeds itself and increases. Wow. Some of the old, like, red, the classic red appledorn and yellow appledorn, they're 100-year, more than 100-year-old varieties. Those tulips may come back. But a lot of the other ones, big and fancy tulips though they may be, very often do not. So, again, if you're treating them as an annual, you know that you're not worried about them trying to store up enough food and all that sort of thing. You can actually plant them without any, you know, if you're planting a big patch of them, say, for lots of color and maybe for cut flowers even, cut flower tulips. You can plant them tight, thick, I mean, 2 inches apart in this patch. So you can put a lot of bulbs in a 2x4-foot area. You might plant, you could plant a couple hundred bulbs in that small an area.
Wow.
Knowing you're going to harvest those flowers and not worry about them coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Where for the most daffodils, narcissus tend to come back well if they are if they're given a little extra fertilizer after flowering time, but also the small bulbs, the crocus, come back well. Snowdrops come back well. I've got patches of snowdrops that are 10 to 15 years old at least. Mm-hmm. They're increasing. Blue scilla, which is again a short, deep blue flower, and that one seeds itself, and I've got this patch that is increasing steadily.
Wow.
You could almost call them a weed in some places, but they will come back well. So again, think about what you want. So those, your package directions will tell you how far apart to plant, so obey that.
Mm-hmm.
So the small bulbs, usually it's about 2 to 3 inches apart. For big bulbs like daffodils, assuming you want them to come back, I'd plant them 4 to 6 inches apart in the hole.
Mm-hmm. And are you, do the packages let you know what kind of fertilizer to sort of prepare these bulbs with, the ones who want to come back?
Sometimes, yes. And also, hopefully, your local retailer may have fertilizer. There's a bulb and bloom food, which you can certainly, which is often sold right next to the bulbs. You know, it's a handy time. So you're mixing fertilizer in underneath the soil, underneath the bulbs that you're planting, and the roots grow down in and then gradually pick that up. Again, like I mentioned with the tulips, that first year at least, all the food that bulb needs to make flowers is stored in the bulb.
Right, right.
So the other thing might be, if you know you have really fertile soil, you've been adding lots of good stuff to it over the years and has good minerals and all that stuff, you may not have to fertilize that much.
Mm-hmm.
The classic The old chemical fertilizers, 832-16, can be used. Again, a light sprinkling of that in the bottom of the hole, or a an organic garden or flower food, or might say rosin flower food, even can be used, and may very well have directions on the package as far as how much to use, whether it might say per bulb, or it may say so many cups or pounds per, you know, 100 square feet or something like that, too. Mm-hmm. So the fertilizers may help, you know, if you have some choices. Take a look at who's selling you the bulbs, or if you're buying them, you know, online, too. Hopefully those folks would have that available to buy, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's and it's worth, you know, it's worth maybe throwing some mulch over the top, again, to slow the freezing and thawing. You can throw some seaweed on top of that also. Can be good. And even, of course, again, we don't know what our weather's going to be like. If you have, though, like I was talking about, planting a big box or bed full for cut flower production or something like that, you could even cover, and you don't have other stuff in that bed, you could actually plant or cover them with a sheet of plastic to keep the soil drier for the wintertime. Again, and that can be beneficial. And then just as soon as you see them starting to sprout in the spring, pull it off. Again, like with our garlic that we will be talking about maybe next week, you know, by early to mid-April, usually the daffodils and the tulips are sprouting. By early to mid-April, the snowdrops are just about done blooming in my yard, at least, and certainly crocus would be likely to be sprouting. Mm-hmm. So you've got to take that into account, but, you know, be observant about what's happening there so you can remove the plastic in timely fashion.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good reminder about that plastic. Big part of that is keeping sort of extra water off the area of the bulb, because that's what's expanding and breaking the bulb as it freezes and thaws.
Helps them rot if it's too wet in the soil, too. Yeah. If we don't, you know, they're predicting an El Nino winter, which kind of maybe sort of means warmer and wetter, at least down at low elevation. And hopefully it also means more snow at high elevation, which we need.
Yeah.
So that, too, would contribute to the rotting of the bulbs if your soil isn't well drained enough.
Gotcha. So you need drainage and then a little extra cover from extra water, El Nino, to give the bulb a chance to survive the season.
Yeah. And again, the other thing too is that as far as think about location for planting, you can plant bulbs because they do bloom early. You can plant them in an area that may be shaded by deciduous trees and stuff later on. So that's something, or kind of near the edge of them anyway. So if you've got maples or even, fruit trees, you know, you could plant some bulbs and stuff in an area under or near them. And, again, by the time, say, you would be picking your cherries or apples, the bulbs will be completely, the leaves and all will be completely gone,
right?
You know, by August and September when we're picking.
Yeah, great. That's true. Nice. So bulbs, yeah, what a wonderful way to, like, use spaces in multiple ways throughout the growing season there. I love
it. Yeah, if you can get, now, the other lady earlier who mentioned the lilies, this is a good time of year for planting lilies. The problem is very often there's not a lot of bulb suppliers bring lilies, or, you know, the retailers necessarily bring lilies in, but you can certainly order those. And it's also a great time of year to be planting peonies. And again, that's something you wouldn't see potted peonies normally this time of year, but you could have been ordering bare root peonies, tubers, and they can be planted this time of year. So, and that's something to think about too, as far as you've got bulbs planted, but then also thinking about what's going to follow the bulbs that you can come back next year. Like when the daffodils or the tulips are blooming, say in early to mid-May, and you could plant other annuals in, around, and among them. You can plant nasturtiums and various different stuff to get more color, and calendulas and pansies and all that sort of thing, whatever your favorites are, in those areas around, among, and around those bulbs, again, to help hide some of the dying foliage on the bulbs that you may want to leave there to feed the bulbs for the following year.
Mm-hmm.
again, that's kind of, again, the more color, the more produce we can get from a space, the better, and just take advantage of that space. If it's a sunny, it's a nice sunny location, certainly that's an area where we ought to be planting more stuff. You know, it's kind of like succession of flowers or like a succession of vegetables and stuff too.
Totally.
And you could even plant garlic in those beds, you know, where you're planting tulips and stuff that
wow.
can grow up, because the garlic looks kind of interesting, and it too, we've got attractive leaves, and then is normally harvested in late July and August
huh.
also. So that's another thing to do, and again, we'll talk about that next week, planting garlic.
Okay. So for this week, folks are planting their bulbs, and next week we'll dive into planting garlic.
Yeah, and again, you know, timing for planting, we can keep planting. I have planted bulbs into November, even into December.
Mm-hmm.
I have, unfortunately, just because of the way the weather can be around here, I've had to plant them through frozen ground, or actually chip a chunk of, you know, like the top 2 or 3 inches freezes, and I pick up this piece of frozen soil, set it aside, dig my hole, plant the bulbs, and then refill, and then put the frozen soil back on top of them. So,
yeah.
And that is, I would not, don't wait so long.
right. So plant
yeah, just because
before
I have
that,
it doesn't mean I want to do it.
Totally. Well, okay, that sounds great. And maybe we'll leave it off there. High Country Music's coming up next. I see Lars here, so he's ready to dive in, I think. So we're going to hand it over to him, and we're going to pick up this conversation again next week when we're talking about planting garlic.
Okay, and we'll see if the weather changes in this. Back to more normal weather for a month that ends in R.
I know. At this point, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if it's not sunny next week, you know?
I know. This is it's record-breaking stuff. I know that. So we have enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay, well, enjoy this next week then, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, Ed.
All right. Very good, Orin.
Till then.
Yep, bye.
Okay, well, by golly. That's In the Garden, Master Gardener Ed Byarski, and we sure do appreciate him taking the time to share his expertise with us. And we also appreciate the Flower Farm for helping to underwrite this program. They're down there at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, 772-3464. That's the Flower Farm, and big thank you to them for helping underwrite In the Garden. And I'll leave you with a little note here before we hand things over to Lars that afternoon jet, Flight 64, is delayed. It should have been maybe boarding now, but I don't think it has. We haven't heard exactly if it has left Juneau yet, but I believe it has not. The latest update to see it having left Juneau has not come through yet, so the flight is delayed a bit, and last we heard from Viking Travel is we're expecting an update at 3:30. So that's the afternoon jet, a little bit delayed, hopefully not too much longer, but yeah. Anyway, until then, we're going to hand it over to Lars Christensen for High Country Music. Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, what will life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Tomato seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden, be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes.
Well, good afternoon, Petersburg. How are you doing today? We are doing great up here in the studio. I hope you guys are enjoying this beautiful sunny weather. A little chilly at night, but that's almost all right. The frost has been doing damage to my garden, but that's the way nature is. And I just got a special notice